And in particular, this Oscar Anderson had this game theory idea. There is a slave particle approach invented to understand the hyperfermion system, all kind of apply to have this issue. And so here I want to kind of reinterpret those kind of approach. You know, this is slave particle, this gate theory approach to have this superconductivity actually can be understood as an entanglement of statistical driven superconductivity. The main idea is that in a highly entangled system, the charge carrier addressed by the entanglement. Then the statistics of charge carrier get confused. I mean, usually something carrying charge E should be fermion, and the fermion should form a Fermi liquid. But if the statistics get confused, the charge particle don't know whether it's boson, fermion, or anion, then they don't know what to do. And the one lesson I learned from high-speed superconductor is that if you don't know what to do, if you don't know the ground state, you assume it's a superconducting state. No, you're more or less right. Because superconducting state actually is the most boring assumption of some unknown compressible states. So what is a highly entangled state? You know, certainly this spin order state up and down is not highly entangled. They are product states. They are not highly entangled. So we have to make a superposition of a different spin configuration to get a so-called highly entangled state. So one way to do so is to make say up spin as a background and down spin from a loop. Suppose we have interaction where down spin from a loop and a superposition of all those loops are highly entangled states. That's one of the example highly entangled states. But however, this example seems very hard to realize. But actually, these RAB states where we have spin up and down dimers, spin single dimers covering the lattice. And this is one of the configuration which is not highly entangled because this part not entangled. But however, we have a superposition of all different dimer covering, then you will get highly entangled states. Actually, these highly entangled states and these highly entangled states are very close related. These string liquids, they're very close related because if you pick one dimer covering have a reference, then the difference of this reference dimer covering compared to another dimer covering, this blue one, if you lay on top of each other, you find this red blue with the form of strings. So the difference of two dimer covering is actually described by a string. So therefore, when you sum over different dimer covering, almost like you sum over different string configuration. So actually, the superposition of a different dimer covering is very much like a superposition of different string configuration. That's one point. Another point is that if you have a free spin, unpaired spin, or you have a hole, no spin, then you'll find that actually it's a hole actually of free spin is an end of a dimer covering. End of a string. It's end of a string. Okay. So therefore the charge carrier in this dimer covered liquid is kind of like end of a string. Okay. And which we call this holon, this charge E particle. This is a hole with no spin. So this is called a holon, but in this case like end of string. Now certainly the main question is that what is the statistics of such charge carrier, which is the end of a string? And then it can be boson or fermion because the whole string is like a bosonic object because just different dimer covering is just a bosonic object. But a single string has two ends. So we know that if you put two ends together, they are bosons. But that still allows the possibility that each end can be fermion. So it also allows the possibility that each end is a boson. So whether the end of string is boson or fermion, this is an issue. So to understand this issue, so let's consider, let's use this string language, and consider a particular wave function, which is a it's an equivalent superposition for all strings. Suppose it's highly entangled state, it's equivalent superposition of strings. So that's correspond to equivalent superposition of all dimer covering. Kind of like that. Okay? So in particular, you can see the wave, the string wave function have this property that when they reconnect, they are equal. Because no matter how or what configuration, they all have the same same amplitude. Okay, so what? So let's instead of thinking about statistics for charge holder and the string, we think about the spin of a charge holder. But here the spin is in red. It's not the spin. It is the spin. So this unfortunate that the spin, the same term was used for different meaning. In kinematic physics, electron spin is not this red spin. Electron spin is iso spin. It's called Zener energy. Have nothing to do with spatial relations because we have no spin orbital coupling. So that's actually correspond to iso spin. And here, when I say spin of a charge E holon, I really mean the spin, orbital spin, spin associated with a rotation symmetry. So actually, we are talking about what is the orbital momentum of charge E holon. You see, this charge E holon is a point particle, orbital momentum should be zero, but actually, no, because they have a string attached. So their orbital momentum may not be zero. So let's consider make a 360-degree rotation of this end of string. Just do that. Then we get this from the string and to the hook end, so the string is changed. However, because our string liquid has this property that this string reconnection has the same amplitude, and then we say maybe this hook end is the same as a string end. If I do the string reconnection, these two strings can join and reconnect. But then we find that when you do reconnection, this hook and became this kind of hook and it can never go to straight end. So somehow there's two sectors. This string fluctuation cannot connect this sector and this sector. So that's already something highly unusual because when we do the 360-degree rotation, we do not go back. We get something new, a new state, a new sector. So we can go back only if we do the 720-degree rotation means we do another rotation. But before we do another rotation, we can using the string reconnection, string fluctuation to change from here to here. These two are kind of superposition. They can change time each other. Then another 360 rotation, we get string end. So that means that the action of a 360 rotation actually is non-trivial. This is off-diagonal, they just exchange this string and hook end. Okay. Then we find this orbital spin for this string plus hook end actually spin 0 more than 1, so integer spin. So that is have an eigenvalue 1. So at the 360, eigenvalue 1, so that's integer spin. But there's another eigenvector for this 2x2 matrix, is a string and minus hook end. It have a half integer spin because under 360 rotation, the wave function is on. Okay. So the bottom line is that actually the string liquid, whether under string behave like a boson or behave like an integer spin or half integer spin, depend on some kind of relative wave function. You know, what is the wave function of this under string with a string? You know, this is kind of like a, you can think about this like a bound state between the string and the string. You know, there's two different wave functions. So two different the local wave function actually give rise to different statistics. Makes sense. Okay. So of the different speed. Okay. And so actually there's as another example is that there's another string liquid. I don't know whether Qian will talk about this or not. The another string liquid is that the amplitude of the string depend on number of loops. For even number of loops, the string amplitude have this plus one, but all number of loops is minus one. So each loop have a minus one amplitude. When that happens, then we can do the same thing. But however, there's a difference. This reconnection of this reconnection of the string actually give us minus one. So actually, this kind of wave function is associated with the different reconnection rule. So if there's an extra minus sign, when the string reconnect, then these two different string regression have opposite amplitude, opposite sign. Okay. In this case, the 360 rotation have this action, so there's an extra minus sign here because this reconnection has the minus sign. Okay, in this case, we find the different superposition of a straight end and a hook end have a spin a quarter or minus quarter. Okay. So this kind of weird thing can happen. Then because spin statistical theorem, actually, the half integer spin actually have given rise to Fermi statistics, and integer spin gave rise to bosonic statistics. And because we can exchange these two angle strings, so this is like exchange. Then we can make a two reconnection. This we reconnect this, we get this, and reconnect this part, we get this. So two reconnection for the two string state we talk about do not have any sign because each one can be plus or minus one, but two always plus one. But then after we do this two reconnection move, we can see that exchange became a 360 rotation, 360 rotation of one particle, one angle string. So therefore, for half unit speed, this is 360 rotation gives us a minus one, that means exchange also gives us a minus one. That's a Fermi. So this kind of like a cartoon picture to explain why spin and splits are related. It's just this. Okay. So the idea is that so the point for this discussion is that the RED states, the hole in the RED states can be boson or can be fermion also, you know, depend on the details. So, but if the hole happened to be boson, then when the hole move around, may condense, that may give rise to superconductivity. So this is what I mean by entanglement driven superconductivity or statistic driven superconductivity. And so this is a very rough idea, but this kind of idea is may lead to some kind of material search. Maybe when looking for highly entangled states, you will never have highly entangled states or state with a very strong spin fluctuation. And then when you dope it, there's a good chance to get a superconductor. If the energy scale associated with entanglement is high, then the TC may be high. That's one idea to get a high TC superconductor. So in my mind, I think the Cooper high TC superconductor belong to this kind of. That's one way to understand the Cooper if it belong to this kind.
So for the spin statistics theorem, for the one quarter spin, they become semions. Is that right?
That's a semion, yes. But a semion, when you have a semion gas, at the low temperature, also superconductor. As long as you don't get fermion. So anything else will be superconductor. So that's what I mean by if you don't know what's going on, it's a mess. Then you say superconductor, you are likely to be right. So maybe let me just say this. So actually, for highly superconductor, so it's maybe caused by this, but however, it's not very striking in the following sense because this whole on condensation can also be interpreted as a D-wave pairing. So these two happen to be the same. There are cases. The Horn condensation led to non-BCS superconductor. So one example I will not talk about here is that in a Herbert-Smith site we have a Kaggle lattice with a spin 1/2. And this Kaggle lattice with spin 1/2 may form a spin liquid. And if this spin liquid happened to be so-called Dirac fermion spin liquid, this Dirac spin liquid. Then doping such a Dirac spin liquid will give rise to superconductivity. Actually, not. We think. And this superconductivity actually is charged 4E. because a carbon monoxide has a different entanglement, so this human have to be correspond on the charge for E superconductivity. So it's non-BCS. And in this case, but however, for Herbig-Smithside and for the high-tens cuprate, the both model can be understood from this entanglement particle, entanglement-driven superconductivity particle. You can use this same mechanism to understand both systems. But in one, for cuprate high-TC, the superconductor happened to be a DOE, BCS, but for Herbig-Smithside, it's not BCS at all. It's a charge for E superconductor. Okay. And but today I will try to use this idea to study some spin model on Huntington lattice, and then I will switch to high-tens superconductor and describe some other results. And so let's consider the spin model on Huntington lattice. And the Huntington lattice is not frustrated. So we have this naturally this AB sublattice. So the AB sublattice. So it's very naturally can spin up, spin down. You know, from Huntington lattice. So the neo state is very reasonable. However, it's kind of, however, the RV states is very close. Even for Huntington lattice, even though it's not frustrated, the RV states have the energies are pretty close to the neo states. Okay. So therefore, if you add some frustration, so this is the second neighbor coupling. The J2 is a, J1 is the nearest neighbor, and the J2 is a second neighbor. When you have a second neighbor frustration, the Heisenberg coupling, then the neo states will cost more energy because the neo state, the J2 do not like the neo states. Then the RV state may be favored. So this is the calculation we did with the final student to see what is phase diagram. It's a very, very rough calculation. We just do some kind of variational approach. Here we say that on every bump, we have an RV bump. On every bump, we have a this spin singlet. But here we choose alpha. If alpha equal 1, then this is a spin singlet. If alpha equal 0, then we have a on A sub I can add on B sub I, that's we have a dot, so we have neo states. So this is a trick to interpolate between neo state and the spin singlet RV states.
This is short range RV, this is equal to
this is a short range, yeah. Let me just point make point there. Just a moment.
How about this?
And so this is just a very rough Tron wave function. You use a tensor network to implant this wave function and then calculate the average energy. Then we find that when J2 over J1 is bigger than 0.5, and then the R equal to 1, so that the spin singlet RV states. Then the magnetic order we have magnetic order when J2 is less than 1/2 of J1. Actually, Steve White have a DMRG calculator, it's a more open than like lab calculation for this system, and he find that the spin singlet, spin outer state become unstable, go to spin singlet state at about a quarter. Getting to over G1 is about a quarter. So active transition is about a quarter.
Yeah, but in DMRG, it's like a BBS order.
Yes, that's right. So that's the point. So here is the nearest neighbor RAB. So this is a RAB correspond to this U1 gauge tube because it's already the string. And but U1 gauge tube is unstable. And there's a Polyakov confinement. And so actually this spin liquid, RAB dimer would crystallize and become some kind of crystal order. But however, that's another point to make. We don't care whether it's a U1 or Z2 is crystal. The reason is only because if you want to understand the superconductor, we dope the system. We will dope the system. We only care about the entanglement at the scale of inter-hole separation. So we only care about this entanglement structure at a short distance. At short distance, Z2, U1, and probably not too big difference. Yeah. And so therefore, for this system, it's pretty difficult to determine what is a crystal order. You know, or maybe one can do that. There are some order states, order states. But however, we all have a not infinitesimal doping, but enough doping. And this RB crystal order may melt. And then you still have the same thing, whether the doped hole behaves like boson behaves like a fermion. So that's determining whether the doped system behaves like a superconductor or not. So that's really the main question. So if we consider a doping, some doping, not very small doping, then we may get a superconductor. So that's naturally led to this in the TJ model on Hamiltonian kinematics. TJ model Hamiltonian kinematics with some doping. And so we kind of think if a J2 is bigger than the quarter of a J1, the spin part may behave more like a RED state. Then the doped hole may be like a boson. You may have a supernova. So, but that's a question. You know, if a doped hole behave like a fermion, then we may get a fermi liquid. If a doped hole behave like a boson, we get a supernova.
Well, so if you believe that this is a deconfined critical point to a Lyrance bond solid, which is there's not just steep white, but there's work by Damle and other group of guys, and all showing the same behavior. If you believe that theory, then in that theory, the dope hole is a fermion.
Okay. It is a fermion. but that's the story. So then the question, when the dope hole became a boson? So since you really raised this question, so that's great. Because you have a T1, T2. So it turns out that if T1 is large, which is usually the case, the dope hole, I think, behave like a fermion. But if a T2 is large, T1 is the smallest scale, so T1 is smaller than everything, then the double hole may be kind of important. So actually, that's the bottom line of this. Certainly, so we tried and we failed in a sense. You know, for release system, we hope when the dope for T1 large is a boson, we're superconductor, but actually, that's not the case. But it turns out that if the T1 is very small, T2 is large, then we have a fermion. That's a And so this is so here we'll kind of switch gear. So we use this slip particle approach to understand the phase diagram of a TJ model. Okay. And for the slip particle approach, is that we introducing this a spin operator, which is spin 1/2 neutral operator, and the spin 0 a Poisson operator, which is a bosonic operator, which is spin 0 charge operator. Okay. Then the physical state of the TJ model is a spin up, spin down, and a hole. There's only three states per second. It's represented in this FB system. It's correspond to no boson, one fermion, no boson, one fermion, but up fermion, or one boson, no fermion. So this is three states. Certainly, in this FB system, in a spin and Poisson system, there are many other states, but these three states correspond to the physical states of TJ model. Okay. They introduce something so called a physical operator, which is a electron operator is F times spin dagger, spin operator is F dagger F. And this physical operator have a property that this operator act within this physical state subspace. It do not go out of it. So when you apply this operator to both the physical states, you get another physical state. So therefore, this particular combination just act within those three-dimensional physical characteristics. Okay. So although the total characteristic is large, but however, when you only consider those kind of operators, this operator act within the subspace. So we can describe TJ model within this subspace. So this is a result. So the TDM model Hamiltonian we get before, this is the standard TDM model Hamiltonian, can be rewritten in this way in terms of FB operator. And again, because those FB operator all is a function of C and S, so they act within the physical vector space. And so therefore, the matrix element of this messy Hamiltonian among those physical states is identical to the matrix element of the TDM model. So that's basically the idea. Okay. But this is very messy, it's hard to deal with. And we don't know what to do. So then we have this very brave slate particle approach. You know, when I first heard about this, I guess it's unbelievable when people do that. In a sense, we want to use a variational approach. But however, our trial wave function do not live within physical subspace, actually live in the bigger space. So we have a very bad approximation. So anyway. And so therefore, we're using this free. So here then we're using F and B to write down a free Hamiltonian, a free system. So this free boson Fermion system is easy to obtain this ground state, because the free system we can get this ground state. But these ground states do not live within the subspace, physical subspace. There's some physical states. But anyway, we don't care. We don't worry about that. And then we're using this mean field wave function, but for the free system, use this as a trial wave function and minimize this average energy of this Hamiltonian. And this is many body Hamiltonian, so this Neutronic Hamiltonian is hard to solve exactly, but we can. It's not so hard to calculate this average. And so in this way, we describe our original approach. These are Hopping term, the fermion, and the parent term fermion, and etc. They are variational parameters. For different choice, those Hopping parameter, we have different mean field wave function. And different mean field wave function give us different average energy. And so we minimize average energy, then we get some parameter we describe, variational states. But certainly, to really make this a proper, we should do the projection. Because this wave function contain unphysical states. And so we can just do a projection here to project out all these unphysical states. And then in this case, this became a really proper variational approach. But the projection is hard to do, and one needs to do the Monte Carlo calculation. So this is so-called a variational Monte Carlo calculation of slip particle approach. But anyway, so using this kind of approximate idea, we can get some kind of mean field ground state and mean field phase diagram. Okay.
So this
small
delta is
what's order prime? Okay, so now some physics. So what can ansatz we should choose? So one ansatz we can choose, we call the Hopping ansatz, the Hopping states. We can say this spin-on have a Hopping, just nearest neighbor Hopping. And Hamiltonized nearest neighbor Hopping just gave us this graphene-like spectrum. Okay, we can just do that. Okay, and we can also consider a purely parent term. So we don't have a near stable, we don't have parent term, but no Hopping term, they're purely a parent term. It turns out that these two ansatz, this Hopping term are purely parent term, is the same when x equals 0. Without doping, these two ansatz describe exactly the same spin wave function. Okay. But however, with doping, these two ansatz are different. These two are different. So when doping is not equal to 0, they are different. So we list them separately. So without doping, the both ansatz describe these RAB states. They describe spin liquid states. So there is no spin rotation breaking. You know, so that means this mean field. This mean field wave function do not have any spin order. Okay, so there's discrepancy here. Okay. And then we have this, we also have this staggered field ansatz, means that we have a hopping, but also adding the staggered magnetic field. So this really try to describe neural states. So when you add this staggered field delta, then this ansatz would develop the same order would have a neural state. Okay. So the physics of the three ansatz falling, at zero doping, these two are same. They both are release states. At non-zero doping, it turned out this hopping ansatz describe a semi-metal state. Describe semi-metal. And however, non-zero doping, the hopping pairing ansatz would describe a superconducting state. But however, I want to say that the superconductivity is really coming from the boson condensation. So superfluidensity is a proportional of doping. It's not coming from this delta. It's different. Okay. So for the boson, you know, since you treat the boson as a free boson system, so boson always condenses. So here we assume boson always condenses. So for B just like a square root of X. Okay. So using these three answers, we can ask, you know, which one have lowest energy. Let me just do this minute calculation. You can see that again, if t is 1 equal to 0, this kind of unphysical limit, that's a super pairing state means. So actually, it's a red line is a super pairing state. So super pairing state wins. And this can zoom into this corner. So it turns out that at a very low doping, like less than 3% or 2%, this neo state wins. So this blue line is a neo state. So there's a first order transition from superconducting state to neo state. But above 3% looks like the superconducting state. And here I want to emphasize that in this limit, if T1 equals 0, we only have T2. This superconductivity is coming from this the statistical Holland. So Holland really behaves like a boson. So even when you have some kind of repulsive interaction between the Hollands, if the repulsive interaction will not make Holland into a CW or Wigman crystal, then this Holland will become superconductor. So the point is that we don't need an attraction between charges to have this superconductor. So we think this is entanglement driven. Then Sugir mentioned that for more realistic situation when T1 is large, it turns out that the hopping state always wins. So hopping state wins. So the hopping state wins. That means there is a Fermi surface, and there's a semi-metal. That's correspond to this Holland probably is a fermions.
In this calculation, the B just condenses, right?
B always condenses.
Okay.
It always condenses.
So this is just
the technical thing is that B always condenses. Okay. Since suppose T1 equals 0. If T1 equals 0, actually there's the Holland would hop on two different sublattices, they don't couple. The Holland only hop within A sublattice or within B sublattice. So we have two kinds of Holland.
Yeah.
And so in this model, actually, there is a strict speaking, at the medium level, there is three U1s here, symmetry. One is a U1 gauge symmetry, and the charge A sublattice charge and B sublattice. So we need a three condensate to break all of them. It turns out that we assume B always condense, so we at least have two condensate. We need another condensate to make the superconductor. So another condensate has to be this delta. That's kind of a.
But isn't there some at finite doping? There's some cone running zero effect, so delta is always non-zero. No.
No. Delta. You know, there is a phase where delta equal to zero, so means that you.
Like a stable and finite doping.
Finite doping, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Basically, it's the symmetry are different. If a delta non-zero is a superconductor, if delta equal to zero is a metal.
Right.
So is whether these two states correspond to whether the physical charge you want to make sure broken or not broken.
Well, generally, if there's any attractive interaction, it will be broken. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, I agree with you. It's not surprising that you get some kind of parity because any attraction will have parity.
Yes.
But here I claim something we did not do. Is that we claim that even when you add say a next neighbor or third neighbor repulsion between charges, just at the hand, not here. This boson part probably still condense.
Yeah, okay, let's condense the boson completely.
Yeah. But because we have a repulsion, suppose we don't need an attraction between charges to get to. That's my point. So in this model, it's easy to understand that so even when you have repulsion between charges, boson still condense.
No, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
What I'm asking was caveat on delta sub ij. I would think once B condenses, then some angular momentum channel with delta ij will condense.
Yeah, that's true. So basically, that's another level. Means any metal, any Fermi liquid
should have it.
But I don't think this calculation taking that effect into account. Yeah. So even without that effect, you get superconductor. That's a point. And So you can say that actually. You can see that when you found this RAB state, you already have some kind of parity. But I do feel this is not the best example to demonstrate my point. Let me say that if you do the same thing on the Herbert Smith side on the carbon lattice, you will get a 24E superconductor. If you really do the same thing. So that would be but for the conical lattice and for square lattice, this Holland condensation gave rise to BCS superconductor. But for some other lattice, on the Kalkin lattice, the Holland condensation gave rise to non-BCS superconductor. So this can happen.
This 4E is coming from binding of four holons or different from?
It's related to this number of Dirac nodes. Herbert Smith had four Dirac nodes. Both conical and square.
So physically, how do you understand
this? This is spin up.
Physically, how do you understand 4E?
From four Dirac nodes, actually. And these Dirac nodes.
Mm-hmm.
The number of Dirac nodes play a very important role. So we did not study this very systematically. So at the moment, Jenkins, this is 1, 2, we have 1, 2, we need a 3. So for both the conical lattice and the square lattice, they have two Dirac nodes for spina. And then turns out their Holland condensation gave rise to BCS superconductor. For conical lattice, there is a four Dirac nodes. And then the Holland condensation just gave you a different thing. It's a 24E superconductor. So I wonder whether 2 Dirac nodes of 2E, 4 Dirac nodes of 4E, or 6 Dirac nodes of maybe 6E. We need a 3, with another example, then we can have a theorem. Yeah, okay.
for the harmonic analysis, we introduced a third coupling. As you have six drug nodes.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if you have for harmonic analysis for the we have J3 and central. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know, that'll be interesting.
You
yeah.
have more drug.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So that should be an idea. So whether one can, for that kind of harmonic analysis, whether one have common kinetic rewards or different superconducting or not. That'll be really, really interesting. Yeah. But we think his number of direct modes play a big role. Okay. Okay, so now let's certainly the same picture also works for square lattice. And for the square lattice, that would be the case for high-tension superconductor. Okay. And we can really basically do the same thing. We can introduce in the spin-on and the hole-on. And then we can. We can really do the same, just changing the lattice. But however, here I want to do something a little bit more sophisticated. Actually, there is a hidden SU2 symmetry here. Okay, and to understand this hidden SU2, we can write down this spin-on term. So the kind of spin-on, we have a hopping term and have a parent term. So the spin-on have two terms. So we have zero doping, so we have no holon, so we don't want the holon at the moment. And then we can rewrite, introduce a Poisson operator, Poisson 1, Poisson 2, which is a Poisson 1 is a spin on F up, but Poisson 2 is a F dagger down, so we have the charge conjugation for the down spin up. And then we can put this chi and delta into this 2x2 matrix in this way. Then we can rewrite this medial Hamiltonian in this rather SU2 symmetric way. So in this way, like this is like SU doublet, and this matrix is some kind of SU2. This is transform in a certain way under SU transformation. And we can also write the TJ Hamiltonian, but only have J part, spin part, the spin, Heisenberg Hamiltonian in terms of the Poisson operator. And in this case, one can see that this Hamiltonian is invariant under local SU2. Because all the operators are SU2 singular. The reading terms are SU2 singular. Okay. So then we can generalize this SU2 formulation to the to doped case. And in this case, we have two Fermi operators like a spin operator. But now we also have a two boson operator, which is also from SU2 doublet. Okay, so we have a two SU2 doublet. Each side we have a fermion and a boson, both SU2 doublet. But this SU2 is not spin SU2; it's some kind of color SU2. Okay. Then what? Well, if you think, suddenly we have a boson and a fermion, there's many states per side. On every side, you have many boson states, you have a several fermion state. But however, if you ask, what is actually the singular state on each side? And then magically, there are only three. So this is actually singlet, there's no boson, no fermion. Another actually singlet is a pair of fermion, Poisson 1, Poisson 2, that are occupied the fermion. That's also this actually singlet. Then another actually singlet is a one boson, one fermion, but both boson fermion are singlet, SU doublet. It's a fermion and the boson can form SU singlet. So this is one fermion, one boson. And there's only three SU singlet states. And we can say these three SU singlet states is our physical states. We say zero is down state. This double occupied state by fermion is up state. And then this this state with one boson, one fermion state is whole. Okay. And then the physical operator will be something within those subspace. Because those are actually singlet, the physical operator are also actually singlet. it's not obvious here. In this one, actually, it's isosingular, but not obvious in this form because it is an F. But anyway, so the TDM model again is a in this way have a local isosymmetry means that this Hamiltonian R within is a SU2 singular sector on each side. Okay, so this is kind of a sophisticated version of this solid particle called SU2 solid particle theory, and so then we do the same thing. You know, this is a exact Hamiltonian. Then we're using a free Hamiltonian where the psi may hop or B may hop. You know, some kind of free Hamiltonian. Then using the Grund's wavefunction of the free Hamiltonian as a trial wavefunction, and you treat this hopping parameter Uij, Gij as a variational parameter. And then we try to minimize the energy for this trial wavefunction, and we get this answer. And this story is pretty successful. And this is really very old story, you know, starting from the earliest stellar particle construction of Bachson Anderson, you know, we kind of get this phase diagram. And so to understand this phase diagram, the most important phase is the Steiger Hallux phase. So Steiger Hallux phase is a phase where there's a spin line can hop around. But however, Uij have a phase. So when the spin line hop around the square, it will make a flux phi or minus phi alternately. So phi minus phi, phi minus phi. So it's called a staggered flux phase. This is staggered flux phase and zero doping kind of mimic this RV state, this spin liquid RV state. You know, that's a, okay. And but however, when you dope it, because we have boson, when you dope it, we'll have a boson. The boson will condense. When boson condense and the delta not equal to zero, and when boson condense and delta not equal to zero, we get a zero connector. But however, if boson do not condense at a finite temperature, so this part is at a finite temperature, boson do not condense. If boson do not condense, then we do not get superconductor. So actually, we get the pseudo gap metallic states. So this is kind of pseudo gap metallic states. But however, when you lower the temperature, the boson may condense. When boson condense, then you get the superconducting states. So basically, that's kind of an idea. So in this case, certainly we have this Holland, and if at low energy this Holland condensation dominates, then we get superconducting states. And the reason we always get superconducting states because of the following, because this is staggered flux phase, and the staggered flux phase, and the H2B transmission can also be viewed as a hopping state with pairing. You know, so the delta can also be viewed as a pairing of spin line. Okay, remember in the Honeycomb lattice, the spin liquid states correspond to either we have a pairing no hopping or we have a hopping no pairing. So we have two extreme cases. But however, on square lattice, it turns out that the spin state, the spin liquid state, prefer a state with both hopping and a pairing. They both non zero. So in this staggered flux phase, both hopping and the pairing are zero. And so therefore, once boson condense, you immediately get a superconducting state. So this is the difference on the square lines. Okay, but this is an old story, but the main point I'm trying to say is the following. In this staggered flux phase, it includes another effect, that there's a Holland and the spin line has some tendency to recombine two electrons. Then you may get this arc, the Fermi arc. Otherwise, you get a fuzzy point. You know, without including this pairing effect, you get a fuzzy point. But however, if you include some additional effect, which is beyond visual theory effect, where the spin line and the Holland have some attraction due to gate shield, for example, they want to pair together. And then this would modify the electron green function. Okay. So this is the picture. It has a so if you go from here to here, just go from zero to pi pi. So this is from zero to pi pi, this is the line. So you can see from zero to pi pi, you see this dispersion relation, and this bar is a spectral wave. How much spectral wave if you get this? But however, if you go from zero to zero pi, from zero zero to zero pi, you find this they don't cross. And actually, they only cross once. So this is a loop. So what we have here is from zero to pi to zero pi. You can see from this you cross once, they go here, they go here. But usually for the Fermi liquid, you should cross once, then you should go back, cross twice. When you go on the loop, you should cross twice. But the spectral function of this RPE calculation sometimes only cross once. And so.
But that's a finite temperature effect.
Yeah.
Can
have any calculation? Yes or no? It's this. So what happens is this: if you really plot the spectral function in the momentum at zero energy, so you get this picture. So sometimes you do get a pocket. But however, the spectral weight on the backside is very small. Actually, it's exactly zero at this one point. So if you go along the diagonal, you don't see this back point. But that's exactly zero. But however, on the other hand, at the final temperature, this probably are all small. So the picture is very similar to what you described. So this pairing effect seems give this arc. But my main point is actually here. At a zero temperature, at a zero temperature, our calculation suggests that the quasi particle spectrum function just like ordinary D-wave spectrum function. Okay, so this is at a zero temperature, it's just like D-wave spectrum with a node. So we have a node here at a zero temperature. But at the final time at TC, we kind of more or less a pocket, but with dominantly the weight on the front edge and a little weight on the back end. So there is an issue how these two spectral functions connect to each other. We are changing from zero temperature. So zero temperature, you get a D wave, but at the TC, you get a pop, kind of like a pocket or arc. And so actually we don't know, because always just somehow it goes through that. But in this, within this calculation, what I can say, within this RPE calculation, assuming boson condensation strongly turned on, etc., you can get some quantitative results. And the quantitative result from this RPE calculation is the following. Usually at zero temperature, we get the quasi particle spectrum. But this dashed sign is a dispersion with no weight, so you only see this. But at the final temperature, this dashed line starts to have some weight. So here only plot the positive energy sector, and this dashed line and this solid line kind of mixed. You get this. So the point term says that DU sigma is like a two band, but at the final temperature. The spectrum like a four band is a four band, and then when you get at the TC, then this band connect. This dashed line have no way. Again, you get two band, this band and this band. So this is a spectrum. This is a spectrum, not exactly along diagonal. It's a slightly off diagonal. You're supposed to see this kind of polarization spectrum. And the thick line is a larger weight, the thin line is a smaller weight. So this is the result of this particular RPA calculation, and which is kind of interpolate between the D wave BCS spectrum. And this is semi-metal spectrum. So this is kind of like a semi-metal spectrum. And so it's a pretty strange. So I don't know whether this I don't know whether this is really has to be this, or it's a particular feature of our RPA calculation. But indeed it raises the question that if you believe that at the low temperature is a BCSB wave quasi particle, but at the TC is some kind of pocket or arcs, then how they get connected is a pretty non-trivial question. So but this is a detail, and probably need a higher precision for the emission to really probe this.
Actually, in this optical measurement in high TC Cooper, there are some evidence that this arc becomes smaller and smaller. People do some extrapolation.
I see.
Go to zero.
At what zero? What measurement?
I think by the.
You said optical. You mean photo emission?
Not photo emission. Optical connectivity. They have some kind of estimation. Like the through the weight or something kind of this yeah, but it's not direct.
I showed this data of the one of arrow, but that's not.
So the point I'm trying to say here is that actually in this theory we do not really have an arc. We really have a pocket. But the spectral weight is zero at one point, but very small near that point on the back side.
Well, is it zero? I mean that's.
That's kind of. I think that's maybe D-wave
no, I mean,
danger. There's some so along the diagonal somehow is a.
So you're making a bound state.
So the spectral, quasi particle spectral wave have to be zero at one point, but very small. But this may be our this may be a special feature of this. But my point is as if you think this the normal state is a pocket, maybe with a different spectral wave distribution. From pocket to standard BCS D wave is pretty difficult to interpolate. And I just try to say we have a theoretical way to do that, but we have to go from 2 band to 4 band. So in the middle, we have 4 band actually. And to interpolate it is cool. Certainly the two limits, the normal state are 2 band, and the D wave are 2 band, but in the middle we have 4 band. It's pretty non-trivial in calculation.
Yeah, so I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
So in my dynamo model,
yeah.
If you take a U1 dynamo model, it's probably some confinement transition, very complicated confinement transition, the U1 game theory that
I
go between these limits.
What is a command transition, whether you can actually calculate approximately what the electron spectrum function looks like.
Well,
there's some kind of
I agree.
It's,
like,
it's a very strange interference.
Right.
Yeah.
You haven't done it
very strange. So I don't know whether this can be observed or not, but if this kind of thing can be observed, it's pretty much a smoking gun. It's so special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And let me just add this. I don't want to really. So actually, I want to say that. You know, we do spin charge separation, we have a spin and holon. But at the end, we have to find spin and holon back into the electron to interpret it, to explain this arc. Now maybe we can do the following. Kind of slip particle approach, we have a spin on and then a holon. The bound state spin and holon is an electron. But we formulate our theory based on spin on and holon. Now we have another formulation. We can start with spinon and electron, we call dopant. And the bound state of spinon and the whole electron or dopant is a holon. So basically we have three objects, spinon, electron, and holon. We can choose a two to write down our theory, and the third one may be the bound state of the two. So the previously what we did is that we have a spinon and holon, we're using spinon and holon to write our new theory. But we can also write down a mean field, develop new mean field theory based on spinon and the electron operator. So it's a dual. So it's a similar idea, it's pretty messy. And maybe let me just show this. When you develop this kind of dopant mean field theory, let's just look at this is a momentum spectrum. This whole dope, this is the electron dope, but you look at these three. At the different doping, doping from 0.5 to 25%. So we have this, you can see this here, we have this kind of arc. And this kind of arc actually coming from the mixing. So this is a spectrum of a dope pump, this is D. This dashed line is a spectrum of F, this is spin line. And, but however, at the final doping, there's some mixing between spin and the dopant. So some spectral wave of the dopant or charge transfer to spin line. At the higher doping, it's more like an ordinary Fermi liquid, just this line goes through. And so actually this is a, this part is a transfer, it's a spin line but with some mixed with a dopant. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I will stop here.
In the Hollon condensation picture, charge 2E superconducting.
Yeah.
So one felt that Hollons are like bookkeeping devices. And what is actually moving are valence bonds where there are two electrons. So in the same sense, can you think about your 4E superconducting as some correlated motions of two valence bonds together?
No, we cannot. The reason is that this charge 4E superconductor naturally is a topological superconductor. Not a topological superconductor in the literature. But the real topological.
No spin on
this name is a topological is a name is used. Topological superconductor actually is a VCS superconductor. But the topological superconductor in the Hermite side is not VCS superconductor with topological. That means there's some kind of excitation, like a bubble of cosine particle actually is have a fraction of the distance. So the really not BCS, not at all.
So no real space picture is
yeah.
Right there.
And it's more like this RB dimer made from quantum monostates. If you want to think about that, I think maybe time reversal is broken, yeah. This state, we can then break time reversal. Okay. So it's like this spin liquid, when you dope it, the doping induces some kind of magnetic field, break time reversal symmetry, make this RV dimer have a complex phase, and this RV dimer liquid, more like some kind of quantum Hall states. And then this really from the onion. Then you can use in the Hollon you can onion, then onion condensation. And then you can ask, you know, this onion superconductor in terms of Hollon is what superconductor in terms of electron. In terms of electron we find that there is no charge 2E condensation, but there is charge 4E condensation for electron. Because the vortex condensation is a charge 4E condensation for magnetic flux. So that's really, I think this is the picture, that the doping induce some kind of effect magnetic field, make this, the RB bond to form some kind of, something like quantum constants. And then there's a Hollon, the onion, the onion condensation. So that's what happens, yeah.
So the current, the charge current is, carried by E or 2E or 4E.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Experimental type of.
It's hard to say. It's a.
Yeah,
I only say that. I don't know what the experiment to measure the current carried by what. And.
Maybe
fast condensation is 4E.
Yeah, HC.
Fast condensation is 4E.
But you could be charge E.
If a tunneling with a superconductor do the noise measurement. You'll see 4E, charge 4E noise. The shock noise should be charge 4E
so
shock noise.
It's real true 4E. So long
yeah.
Age fast condensation.
Yeah, it is a 4E condensation. Yeah.
But why it has something to do with the number of drug points?
It has something to do with this, what kind of quantum constant you'll get. So actually, if you do the onion condensation, you know, there is also onion picture for this kerosene picture and the onion super example for cupric.
Yeah.
There we have the hormones samian. When samian condense, you also get superconductor, but in this case, you get the BCA superconductor. It's
yeah,
a D plus ID.
Charges
2E. 2E happen to be D plus ID. So, what I try to say is that for the samian condensation in the square lattice, you happen to get the BCS D plus ID superconductor. But for the Herbert Smith side, this quantum office is different. And so, there, the Holland condensation do not give rise to any. Superconducting states, or BCS superconducting states, give you a totally different superconducting states. And so the point is that this entanglement driven superconductivity is a mechanism. Sometimes it produces a BCS superconductor, but sometimes it produces some other states naturally. You know, you don't need something very special, but you can produce other kind of non BCS superconductor naturally. And but on square lattice, on quantum lattice, what you get is a BCS. I think on quantum lattice, what you get is I think it's S wave. Yeah. It's maybe some other way it's better, but we only design these three answers. The answer we start designing is S wave. And yeah, but I don't know whether
it is because you think about the limit, like J which would be large, J one large.
No, T2, but this actually is really T2 driven. It's not T1, but if you have T1, the semi metal state seems to have the lowest energy. But if you don't have T1, only T2, somehow T2 is compatible with
it. Yeah,
so but J mainly is J1, J2, mainly J1. But the Hopping is mainly T2. So this is totally unrealistic. But in this situation, you may get an S wave. And so that's maybe not incompatible.
If you only have T2, you end up like a couple of sublattices, like because you only have.
So this experiment is quite non-trivial. So we have a T2, we have decoupled sublattices, but we have two boson condensation, but we also have this spinner condensation. So we have a three condensation. To destroy the fictitious U1 gauge U and the two physical U1 symmetry. So we have actually this model has three condensation. And actually pretty important. If you don't have three condensation, you actually get a metal. When you have three condensation, you get a superconductor.
Okay, thanks, Shanda. So I'll